Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Mark's. I would like to welcome all the friends and family of our children who will be sharing the Christmas gospel with us today. I'd like to welcome all of our worship guests who are joining us from the community. It's good to see some of you again and some of you for the very first time. I have some thoughts as to why we are doing this service in the first place this morning, and I'll share those with you as part of my devotion in a little bit. For now, I would just like to direct your attention to the worship booklet for this morning. It's the blue copy. If you did not get one on your way in, perhaps after the children come up would be a good time to get the attention of one of the ushers to make sure you have this for worship, as the entire service is printed out for you in the worship booklet for this morning. With that, I invite you to stand for the processional hymn.
Open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God. us worship him.
Please be seated. We light 4 Advent candles, remembering Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Mary. He came to share our humanity.
We remember Jesus, whose name means Savior. He came to save his people from their sins.
We hear his call to give him a place in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest.
Through your word and spirit, may our souls be blessed.
So I have some thoughts on the purpose of this service. Could it be that this service gives us an opportunity to teach them how to work together? If you think of the diverse group that we have up here, they go all the way from pre-K and junior kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade. And that's a huge age span to get to work together. They also come from a number of different schools. Some of them go to our school here at St. Mark's. Some of them go to other schools. Some of them go to homeschool. And it's a challenge to get them all to work together. And is that the point of doing this? To teach them that life skill of working together in a large group? I doubt you need one more reason to be proud of these people. Just here at St. Mark's, we had 2 basketball teams run right through a perfect season all the way up to the conference championship. Others of them play soccer. Some of them are swimmers. Some of them are very good writers. They are very good public speakers. They are very good singers. Some of them are instrumentalists. They perform exceptionally well in school. They are the editors of the school newspaper. Do you really need one more reason to be proud of them? And is that why we parade them up in front of you and have them sing and recite for you? Or maybe it's tradition. Because there would be a rebellion if we didn't have the shepherds out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And we want to teach them the value of church tradition. Is that why these people are up here this morning? I don't think it really matters if you teach your children how to work together, whether it's on a basketball court or on a soccer field or on a team or as a group of academics who have gotten together. And they become very successful people. And then they have a much better life than you did, because isn't that the goal? We want our children to have a better life than we did and grandchildren to have a better life than that. What if we teach them these life skills, but we don't teach them Jesus? Or what about the DVDs that you have? I doubt you need one more DVD of these people. One more memory of a fond childhood event. Because what's going to happen to those memories? You're going to have to get them off of a DVD, and you're going to have to put them onto some other medium, and then they're going to be forgotten, or they're going to get lost up in the cloud, or maybe they're going to be wired and implanted directly into our brains someday. But what good are any of those memories going to do if we don't send these children with the memory of Jesus and who he is and what he has done for them? And tradition, do you really need one more tradition? We have a tradition for everything. Baseball, weddings, Christmas, right? We have the seventh inning stretch. We shove wedding cake into our new spouses' faces. We deck the halls and we sing the carols. We eat figgy pudding. I don't know what figgy pudding is. But we have these traditions. Do we really need to teach these guys that it's important to do this because it's a tradition to do it? And then send them on in their lives without teaching them about the Savior who is behind this tradition and the good news of that Savior? I have two reasons why this service is important. We have this service to impress upon these guys their deep need for Jesus and Jesus' deep love for them. And then the second reason is to have them impress upon you and me how badly we need Jesus and how deeply God has loved us in Jesus. It's important because the world is always not an easy place to be in. The world is a blessing from God. There are lots of really great things about living in this world, and God shares many blessings with us. But we all have our trials, we all have our problems and our difficulties. And there's lots of different reasons for that. People have lots of different answers for that. Maybe they blame politics, makes life difficult. Or maybe it's Mother Nature has made life difficult for you. Or maybe it's fate or dumb luck. Or maybe it's the very bad people that are in this world that make life difficult. God has a thought on why life is difficult. He shares it through St. Paul in Romans chapter 5, words that a lot of these guys have memorized. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And I know that talking about God and sin in the same sentence is not very trendy. And I know that talking about God and sin is kind of a dying tradition these days. But it's God's eternal truth, and it's God's answer to why life is difficult and why we have problems and why we feel guilt and why we feel shame. That's God's answer to why the world doesn't work the way that he set it up. Again, speaking through St. Paul, he said, "For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Jesus himself says it this way in John chapter 16, "In this world, you will have trouble." Jesus says life can be difficult, life can be a burden. And the number one reason why that is because you and I are never going to experience the perfect, pain-free, problem-free existence that people experienced before the fall into sin. We're just never going to know what that is like. We are never going to know that perfect, sin-free, guilt-free relationship with God that Adam and Eve knew for a little bit before they sinned. We are going to know guilt. We are going to know shame. We are going to know troubles and difficulties. But Jesus offers up a solution. Jesus offers up some hope. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And they are here today to tell us how Jesus overcame the world. Jesus was born for you and for me as a perfect little baby. And then he grew up to be a perfect young man. And then he grew up to be a perfect adult man who lived a perfect life in a world of sin and a world of imperfection. Jesus brought perfection. And he brought that for you and he brought that for me. And then that perfect man gave up his life on the cross, where he died to pay for your sins and my sins, for their sins. Jesus lived and died for the sins of the whole world. That is how God overcame the problems of this world. That is how God overcame your sin. And that is how God overcame my sin. The message of this service today is to impress upon these guys, especially in those times when they experience the difficulties of life, because even little people have big problems in life. And it's to impress upon them when they feel worthless because they know they've done something that they shouldn't. It's to impress upon them that Jesus lived a perfect life for them and Jesus died for them. That Jesus is their Savior and that Jesus walks with them through this life. They have a perfect companion in this life. And he's going to take them home to heaven someday. The purpose of this service is to impress upon you and me that we have a Savior and that we have a perfect companion to walk us through this life, especially when life is difficult. And I don't claim to have the answers that you need, the direct specific answers, but I have Jesus' answer to share with you. He lived for you and he died for you. For those times that you are just struggling with life, for those times that you have the gut-wrenching shame and guilt that keeps you up all night because you know you've blown it too, and you wish you hadn't done what you did, and whether or not you believe in God, you still know what guilt and shame feels like. Jesus came to take care of that. Jesus was born into this world to be your perfect Savior, and he did that. He came to die an innocent death for you, and he did that. Jesus came to overcome sin and guilt in the world for you. That's the message that these guys are going to share with you. That's why the purpose of this service is ancient, going all the way back to the Psalm, Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He has decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So that you might know and treasure this good news. So that these guys might know and treasure this good news, and so that their children and the generations after them might treasure that good news. These children of God are going to share Jesus' good news with you. That the baby born in Bethlehem is God Almighty. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That he is the light of the world. That he is God made flesh with little eyes, little toes, and a little nose. They're going to sing this mystery in such a beautiful, simple song so that we can have comfort and peace, not just this Christmas, but always and into eternity with our God. May God so bless our worship this morning and strengthen you through the message that they will share with you. Amen. Thank you.
Many years ago, in the far-off country of Austria, a Christmas carol was written called Still, Still, Still. This song was used not only as a Christmas carol, but also as a child's lullaby. Although the melody can be traced back to Salzburg, Austria, in 1819, the writer of the text is no longer known. This morning, we will stroll down the streets of a quiet Judean village named Bethlehem. There, we will have the opportunity to listen in on the conversations that might have surrounded the birth of Jesus. We will also wander out into the fields surrounding Bethlehem and notice the commotion taking place there. I think I can hear some sounds far off in the distance. Let's all be still, still, still. I think I can hear a father welcoming a new addition into his family.
Thank you. My name is Joseph. No doubt you've all heard of me and even read about me. I can even imagine that at this very moment, you have me standing somewhere near your Christmas tree. In your creche, that's me right beside my wife, Mary. We're both looking down at our new baby boy. The Bible lists my name in the line of my son's ancestors. That birth line traces my ancestors for 24 generations, way back to our great King David. Because I am David's descendant, Mary and I had to leave our hometown of Nazareth and travel to Bethlehem, David's birthplace, to be counted in the Roman census. When you hear the story of my son's birthday, you notice that I was living in Nazareth as a carpenter and engaged to my lovely Mary. But all was not well. My world fell to pieces when I heard the news that my betrothed was expecting a baby. This was a disgrace that was punishable by death. But I soon discovered that God had a plan for Mary and me. The situation was well within His almighty hands. I can say with all certainty, no man before me or after me has ever been blessed as I was. From that day on, my life could never be the same. My future was planned out for me. I was to be the stepfather of not only a newborn son, but also of my Savior and my God. I was to raise my King and my Creator in my own Nazareth home under my own roof. I was to faithfully see to his religious training, teach him my skills in carpentry, and try to do all the things every other father does for his child. Is it any wonder my mind was filled with all these things as I tended to my pregnant Mary on that 70-mile trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem? After our long journey, we finally settled in a stable, certainly far from ideal, but at least it was safe and dry. But the Lord was gracious to Mary and me, and all went well. And yes, as I looked in those tiny eyes, I quietly turned to Mary and whispered, "His name is Jesus."
to tell you the marvels that I have seen in my life. How can I begin to share with you the miracles I've experienced, the joy I've known, and the sorrow I've endured? Together with my loving husband, Joseph, we raise the Savior of all people. My memories go very deep. Not only did I spend many loving years with my son, Jesus, I also carried him within my very womb. It all began so strangely.
The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born of you will be called the Son of God."
My life was a simple life in Nazareth. I had so looked forward to my marriage with Joseph. I was not a special person, and in no way did I deserve to be chosen apart from all the women throughout history to carry God's Son and deliver him to a world condemned by sin. That's why I said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name."
I will never forget the long and painful trip to Bethlehem. I will never forget the pains I felt giving birth in that stable. I will never forget hearing the first whimper from the lips of my baby. I will never forget the look on Joseph's face as he tried so hard to comfort me and help in any way he could. Remember, this was our first baby. I will never forget the awe that came over me when I held my Lord for the very first time right in my own arms. I will never forget that breathless band of shepherds who had hurried into town to see their Savior who has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I will never forget any of these things. They are far too wonderful to ever forget. These were all blessings given only to me, and yet I am not to be praised for my part. It is Jesus who deserves all the praise and worship and glory.
Thank you. Okay. My name is Gabriel. It means hero of God. Michael and I are the only two angels given the honor of being named in the Bible. We were chosen to be special messengers of God. I always follow my master's orders. When he sends me on a special assignment, I willingly obey. I am mentioned in the Old Testament for have given God's advice to a man in Babylon named Daniel. I was also sent to Jerusalem to deliver a message to Zechariah, father of John the Baptist. I said to him,
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord."
I was also told to give Mary the good news that she would be the mother of the Lord Jesus.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph.
Never in the history of this world has there been singing like that night over Bethlehem. Can you imagine how we rejoiced at the birth of Jesus? God was now descending from his throne on high to become a man for the purpose of rescuing all people. Such an event as this had never happened before and will only happen once more, when Jesus comes back as a victor and judge. The Lord wanted us to provide a heavenly concert to an unlikely group of shepherds minding their flocks on the hills around Bethlehem. Can you imagine their amazement when at first a single angel was sent to make the announcement?
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
But that announcement was just the beginning. As those words ended, the heavens opened wide, and the joy that had been hidden within us for so long was about to be unleashed. Thousands upon thousands of my fellow angels joined in a praise song that filled the air. The beauty and splendor of that moment lit up the Judean hills. All the radiance and strength of heaven was witnessed by those shepherds. Heaven could not contain our happiness, and we sang in holy harmony.
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Thank you. Where do we begin with our story? How could anyone believe what we had seen?
Our wives still think we were dreaming.
Herding sheep night after night is a lonely and boring job. We had just bedded down for the night. Our sheep were in the fold and quite content.
But that was for the time being.
We were used to the light of a full moon, and we had seen our share of shooting stars in the dull black sky. But angels were something we didn't quite expect.
We never expected to see any angels.
It began with one angel who spoke to us. It was bright.
But when God's glory shone around us, that sight was awesome.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
The angel spoke forcefully yet tenderly. He wanted to give us a message. He asked us to leave our sheep and run to Bethlehem as quickly as we could.
He said the Messiah was born tonight, right there in Bethlehem. This was beginning to sound rather unbelievable, but he even told us what to look for. He gave us all the details.
You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Just then, my mouth dropped and my knees began to shake as the heavens opened up with a sight I can't begin to explain. All I know is I will never forget it. It was too marvelous to put into words. I still see it every night as I lie down to sleep.
After the angels left, the heavens once again returned to the dark black we were used to. We looked at each other in amazement, and everyone shouted, "Let's go."
So they hurried off and had Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger.
We stayed in that stable for just a short time. We introduced ourselves to the new parents, Mary and Joseph. They assured us this was the one we had all been waiting for. We even touched his tiny hands. They were the hands of our Messiah, Emmanuel, the promised one. No one will ever know the feelings we felt and shared.
How do you keep a story like this all to yourself? We were bursting with news to tell anyone we happened to meet. Not just that night, but for days. No, for years after it happened.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them.
Worship continues with the prayers on the bottom of page 19 in the service booklet. After the prayer of the day, we will offer special prayers and intercessions on behalf of Marty Puckett. Marty was diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat last week and had surgery to install a pacemaker. The surgery went well, and Marty is doing very well, and we will pray for his continued recovery. We will also pray on behalf of Brittany Schwieger and Jordan Dobson, who were married here at St. Mark's this weekend. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the burden of our sins and make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, giver of life, health, safety, and strength, we praise you for having granted Marty Puckett, your servant, a successful surgery. Continue to bless his recovery in the days to come, that he may daily remember your great goodness and serve you with a life that reflects genuine thankfulness for all your blessings. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, our Heavenly Father, you have established marriage for our good and commanded us to honor this holy estate. We ask your blessing for Brittany Schwieger and Jordan Dobson, who were married here at St. Mark's this weekend. Help them always to remember with thankfulness that you have united them as one. Dwell in their hearts and in the home they establish, that their lives and their marriage will glorify you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us join in our Savior's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've heard the sounds of the first Christmas. They came to us from a happy father and a loving mother. We heard them in the soft whimper of a baby and in the glorious noise of all God's angels. These are all sounds that could be heard that first Christmas so very long ago, so very far away on a still, still night. So today, as we remember the still, still night of Jesus' birth, we can join together sharing the glorious message about our God, who was so filled with love that on a still, still night many years ago, he sent a Savior.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you all. On behalf of the children, I'd just like to say that it was a joy and a privilege for them to share the good news of Jesus' birth and what that means for our eternal salvation with you this morning. Thank you for hearing the message that they proclaimed. If you're a guest or a visitor with us, we warmly welcome you to St. Mark's. We encourage you to worship with us again soon. As we continue to celebrate Christmas this week, we have many worship opportunities. I'd like you to turn your attention to the backside of your worship booklet. Holiday worship is outlined there for you. I'd like to note that the two services on Christmas Eve, the 5 and the 7 festival services, are different than the 10:30 p.m. Lessons and Carols service. So you might consider coming back for a late night service. It will be unique from the earlier services that evening. If you plan to join us for worship next Sunday, I'd like to note that the adult Bible classes will be a little bit different than usual. We're transitioning between quarters of Bible classes, so next week as a special Christmas treat, we'll have a special Bible study that focuses on Christmas hymns. We'll also enjoy singing those hymns as a part of the Bible class as well. Everyone would be encouraged to attend the Bible class next Sunday. As Pastor mentioned in his devotion, if you'd like to add another DVD to your collection, we have DVDs available of this morning's service. As you leave, on the right side of the lobby there at the school table, there's a bright green sign-up sheet on a clipboard. You can indicate your name and your phone number, and we'll get those DVDs produced and into your hands as quickly as possible. I'd like to share a quick announcement on behalf of our school. When we come back to school in the new year, we're going to be cranking things up for projecting enrollment for the following school year. Our current families will be re-enrolling, and then it's a great opportunity to start connecting with new families. So if you're at all interested in our school and the possibility of enrolling your child for next year, the 2015-2016 school year, I would encourage you to begin the enrollment process as soon as possible once we get to January. I'd be happy to talk to you about setting up a time to visit our campus. Probably the best way to get to know our school is to visit, and then if we can get things moving forward quickly, that'd be very advantageous. I'd also like to note that junior kindergarten and kindergarten tuition for next year will be reduced by half. So we're trying to encourage families to give our school a try at a reduced rate, and that's one incentive for doing that. Lastly, this morning, as you leave and as the church clears out, if you have a little bit of extra time on your hands, if you might not mind sticking around, we're going to take things down in the front here and get ready for our Christmas services on Wednesday. It goes very quickly when we have a few helpful hands with us, so we'd appreciate that help if you can contribute. Finally, this morning, Pastor Schmidt has a special announcement to share with us.
Good morning. I enjoyed worshiping with all of you this morning. This last week, I received a divine call to serve God's people at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. For those of you not too familiar with our calling process, what that means is there is a vacancy at that congregation, and the district officials in charge of overseeing that area have asked me to come and be their pastor. So over the next few weeks, or probably even close to a month, I will be evaluating my weaknesses, my strengths, my abilities, and how I can best serve you, how I can best serve that congregation, ultimately how I can best serve Jesus with the ministry that he has entrusted to me. So I would welcome your thoughts and comments, especially your prayers for me and for my family, for St. Mark's, and for our ministry staff here. And if you can remember, those are brothers and sisters in Wisconsin too. They need someone to come and shepherd them and serve them with the good news too. So keep them in your prayers and ask God that his will be done and that a decision is reached that glorifies him and will best serve his kingdom. That is the announcement that I wanted to share with you. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out this morning.